Well, they can hear us now. And you can hear me too.
Yes.
Welcome, welcome, good evening. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the broadcast. And in this episode, we're going to go over session 4, which happened January 22nd, 1981.
Whoop, whoop.
So, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Des.
And we welcome you with open arms to the Rockcast, where we are going through each channeling session performed by LNL Research in the early 80s with the sixth density entity. Wow, that's a tongue twister. Ra, from our planet Venus.
Okay, so, we are not...
Yeah, we really both can't talk tonight.
We are not experts, nor do we claim to be spiritual gurus. These episodes contain our interpretations of the material that we discuss. We implore you to not take our interpretation as the only understanding of this material, but the materials themselves are the only authoritative sources available. We encourage all listeners and viewers taking in our content to use your own discernment in regards to the materials we discuss. If anyone does feel attractive to any interest, the materials discussed herein, it is our...
It's going to be a rough one.
It is our perception that one should access the source material in their own study to come to their own conclusion. The links are now in the chat, and they will also be provided later on.
Of course.
Thank you for supporting everybody in LL Research. Let's go.
Cool. So in this session, there's going to be continued discussions on the creation and the purposes of the pyramids, which has been an interesting topic for sure. And their relativity, you know, how they're related to modern times. What's up? Welcome. I think that's Nat. I can't read it. It's too far away.
Yeah, it's Nat.
Oh, hello, Nat. Welcome to the show. Then there's going to be a few topics that kind of come up that are super interesting for us to explore, and they're really cool, and we've actually implemented them once in our personal lives and have had results from it, so it's pretty cool. So, you want to start? Oh, you're still messing around. Okay. So, Don comes in pretty early on. Of course, he always asks how Carla's doing, and, you know, Ron says everything's okay. Am I hearing voices?
I heard voices too. Is your phone on silent?
Yeah.
So is mine.
Weird.
I don't know.
Uh-oh. Oh, you know what? I wonder if it was from...
Oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't mute this.
No, man. I heard myself and it scared me. So Don continues to ask about the shape of the pyramids and the correlation to the initiation process that was spoken on in the last episode. And so Ra comes in and says, I am Ra. As we began the last session question, you have already recorded in your individual memory complex the first use of the shape having to do with the body complex initiation. The initiation of spirit was a more carefully designed type of initiation as regards to the time-space ratios about which the entity to be initiated found itself. Sorry, I lost my place. If you will picture with me the side of the so-called pyramid shape and mentally imagine this triangle cut into 4 equal triangles, you will find the intersection of the triangle, which is at the first level on each of the 4 sides, forms a diamond in a plane which is horizontal. Now, I had the intention of trying to draw up a picture of this to put up on for everyone to see, and I couldn't do it. I tried thinking through this, and my brain just did not work to do that. So if anyone out there can and wants to go through session 4, read that little excerpt again and, like, provide some visual representation of what the hell he just said, that'd be phenomenal, because my brain couldn't process it. And I'm actually personally on session, like, 80-something in the audiobook now. And the clarification later on just made it more complicated. So I'm going to go ahead and continue. The middle of this plane is the appropriate place for the intersection of the energies streaming from the infinite dimensions and the mind-body-spirit complex's various interwoven energy fields. Thus, It was designed that the one to be initiated would, by mind, be able to perceive and then channel this, shall we say, gateway to intelligent infinity. This, then, was the second point of designing this specific shape. So whatever the hell he just said, that's the second reason for making it that shape. Now, they talked about where within, like, whatever the diamonds and the shit on the triangle for the pyramid, whatever that drew, the middle of that is where the space is for this process to happen. I didn't get that while reading this or listening to this. I got that 60 sessions later. So eventually I will be making videos about specific topics for this as I get through it all myself, and those will just be uploaded onto the YouTube channel, because some of this stuff is, I mean, it is just all over the place. And Don, you know, he asks a question, he gets a response, and then
in the most creepy way possible.
Yes, which I got set up. Nat, you picked a good one to come into, because I have a sample of the original channeling sessions that I'm going to play that I got permission to use by LL Research. Just want to put that out there in case anyone tries to get on our asses or whatever. And it is interesting, to say the least. So, where was I? You interrupted me. What was I talking about?
How?
Oh, Don will ask a question. Yeah. He'll get an answer, and then they meditate on it for the next session. And then he'll come back like a session or two later with more questions and then get more details later. Yes. So that's why this stuff is kind of all over the place. So I'm actually going to slip that little snippet in right now because it's crazy. I think I need to turn this audio up for it to work. I'm going to mute us so you don't have to hear us, but I'm going to go ahead and switch over to it and hopefully it'll work because I just kind of threw it together right now. Just saying.
You are listening to a cassette recording of a channeling session from The Raw Contact, a series of 106 sessions that were conducted between 1981 and 1984 using a form of tuned trance telepathy. Throughout these sessions, a group of entities identified as Raw shared information regarding the Law of One, spiritual evolution, and a variety of esoteric topics through a series of questions and answers. The full text transcript of these recorded sessions can be read for free at lnlresearch.org, where you can also learn more about this audio and its origins. This recording is intended for personal study and is not available for commercial use. Please contact LNL Research if you wish to use this audio in any other way.
Testing. Raw session number 4, January 22nd, 1981.
Ra. I greet you in the love and the light of the infinite creator.
Time to ask this question.
I am Ra. Yes, this is an appropriate time, space to ask that question.
Does the shape of the pyramid have effect on the initiation?
I am Ra. As we began the last session question, you have already recorded in your individual memory complex the first use of the shape.
So I'm going to cut that off there. That was just a little taste of your hair. It's kind of crazy.
It's going to be.
Of the channel sessions. And I did the one that we're speaking on now because they kind of talk about the stuff that I glanced over collectively. And it's an interesting thing to hear. To understand that Carla was unconscious at that time, mm-hmm. and that was Ra using her body literally as an instrument to communicate his conscious energies into vocal yes speaking. I told you it's gonna be a rough one tonight. Now I can already tell. Okay, so I hope everyone enjoyed that. I know some people are really gonna get freaked out because I did. For many levels, for many reasons, on many levels. Jesus, I am not here. Would you like to do the question?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. As I understand it then, the initiate was to be on the center line of the pyramid, but at an altitude above the base is defined by the intersection of the four triangles made by dividing each side into four triangles. Is that correct?
Ra says yes, but it still doesn't make sense to me.
Why does it go R?
Just ignore the R.
Okay. Then at this point, there is a focusing of energy that is extra dimensional in respect to our dimensions. Am I correct?
Now this gets interesting too. Ra comes in and says, you may use that vibratory sound complex, which is just a word. However, it is not totally and specifically correct as there are no extra dimensions. We prefer the use of the term multi-dimensions.
Is the size of the pyramid a function and effectiveness of the initiation?
Once again, more interesting information. I am Ra. Each size pyramid has its own point of streaming in of intelligent infinity. Thus, a tiny pyramid that can be placed below a body or above a body will have specific and various effects depending upon the placement of the body in relation to the entrance point of intelligent infinity. So basically, yes and no. For the purpose of initiation, the size needed to be large enough to create the expression of towering size so that the entrance point of multidimensional intelligent infinity would completely pervade and fill the channel, the entire body being able to rest in this focused area. Furthermore, it was necessary for healing purposes that both channel and the one to be healed be able to rest within that focus point. So basically, yes, and then the ones they made were big so they could fit more people in it. And to express the fact that there is a lot of energy capability here.
So is the large pyramid at Giza still usable for this purpose, or is it no longer functioning?
I love this too, because Ra talks about relations to music all the time. I am Ra. That, like many other pyramid structures, is like the piano out of tune. It, at this as this instrument would express, plays the tune, but oh so poorly. The disharmony jangles the sensitive. Only the ghost of the streaming still remains due to the shifting of the streaming points, which is in turn due to the shifting electromagnetic field of your planet, due also to the discordant vibratory complexes of those who have used the initiatory and healing place for less compassionate purposes. You should know what he's talking about there.
Mm-hmm.
The Egyptians using the pyramid for other things. What all did they use pyramids for?
They would obviously bury pharaohs. We put it all in one word.
They would burrow.
They would also put treasures. They would make booby traps. They would make fake pyramids, so people thought this pyramid was actually important, but actually they're buried over here just to capture tomb raiders.
They made fake pyramids?
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that was a thing.
No. Okay. They also made, like, in the pyramid itself, they'll actually have, like, say, like, the pharaoh is in a sacred little place all the way over here.
Usually I thought they're in the king's chamber.
Usually, yes. But the king's chamber will change in the pyramid.
Okay.
Because it is to ward off the tomb raiders.
So they must have been altered after Ra made them.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna guess so. I'm just saying this is just based off of literally people walking into the pyramids.
Right.
So, like, there's many different segues into these walkways.
So how do you think that plays into the whole theory of, like, being cursed by a pharaoh?
I don't know.
Like, now that we have the knowledge that, obviously, they were not man-made. But all the stories of them are of man's influence.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
I'm going to say, like, the pharaoh's curse is obviously just a Egyptian way to scare the tomb raiders away.
Or because they had tapped into intelligent infinity, was there energy remnants there that were of negative polarity that kind of hung out.
It's possible.
I don't know. So far, Ra hasn't really spoke on that, and I don't think he does.
I don't know.
I don't know either. It is an enigma.
Today, researchers still have so many pathways to find through the pyramids.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is.
Because there's many that have collapsed or are still booby-trapped.
Or the ones that are in the ocean.
Yeah.
Good luck getting into those.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Grow gills. All right. Are we good?
Yep.
Okay. So a question went... Going back to the question, would it be possible to build a pyramid and properly align it and use it today with materials we have available?
Ra comes in, I am Ra. It is quite possible for you to build a pyramid structure. The material used is not critical, merely the ratios of time-space complexes. However, the use of the structure for initiation and healing depends completely upon the inner disciplines of the channels attempting such work.
Oh my gosh, this is really small. Okay.
Get rid of the stream over there. Over there and make it bigger.
It's okay. My question then would be, are there any... Okay, you know what? I'm just going to do what you said to do. I can't read. My question then would be, are there individuals incarnate upon the planet today who would have the necessary inner disciplines to, using your instructions, construct and initiate in a pyramid they built and then possibly do it again? Is this within limits of what anyone can do on the planet today, or is there no one available for this?
Interesting question.
It's a very good question.
Mm-hmm. And Ra always has the perfect answer. I am Ra. There are people, as you call them, who are able to take this calling at this nexus. However, we wish to point out once again that the time of the pyramids, as you would call it, is past. I was going to mention this earlier, but remembered he says it here. It is indeed a timeless structure. However, the streamings from the universe were, at the time we attempted to aid this planet, those which required a certain understanding of purity. This understanding has, as the streamings revolve and all things evolve, changed to a more enlightened view of purity. Thus, there are those among your people at this time whose purity is already one with intelligent infinity. Without the use of structures, healer patient can gain healing. Basically saying, like, yeah, you could, but there's no reason to.
Yeah.
Because people have already reached that level of consciousness naturally.
Yeah. So, is it possible for you to instruct healing techniques if we could make available these individuals that have the native ability?
Ra says, it is possible. We must add that many systems of teach learning, the healing patient nexus, are proper given various mind-body-spirit complexes. We ask your imagination to consider the relative simplicity of the mind in the earlier cycle and the less distorted but often overly complex views and thought-spirit processes of the same mind-body-spirit complexes after many incarnations. We also ask your imagination to conceive of those who have chosen the distortion of service and have removed their mind-body-spirit complexes from one dimension to another, thus bringing with them, in sometimes totally latent form, many skills and understandings which more closely match the distortions of the healing patient processes. Did you get that?
Nope.
There's a lot of ways to go about it. There's a lot of people that can do it. When he's talking about the simplicity of the mind earlier, I think he's speaking in reference to, like, the Egyptian time.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything got more complicated the more times we died and came back.
Okay. Makes sense. So, like,
technology and ideas and evolution. And then eventually, you know, we are where we are now, where we've breached through fourth. Well, not really. We're breaching into fourth. So it's not necessary because the pyramids themselves and the people at the time would use that as a catalyst to almost kind of brute force their way into what we are doing now naturally.
Okay. Makes sense.
Got it?
Yep.
Okay.
So I would very much like to continue investigation into the possibility of this healing process, but I'm a little lost as to where to begin. Can you tell me what my first steps would be?
The reason why I put this in here is because it's something that Ross says many times over, in different ways for different questions. So Ra comes in, I am Ra. I cannot tell you what to ask. I may suggest that you consider the somewhat complex information just given and thus discover several avenues of inquiry. There is one health, as you call it, in your polarized environment, but there are several significantly various distortions of types of mind, body, spirit complexes. Each type must pursue its own learned teaching in this area.
So I would assume that the first step would be to find an individual with ability brought with him into this incarnation. Is that correct?
I thought you were legitimately asking me a question, not going right into Don's next part. Yes.
Yeah.
This is correct, yes.
So once I've selected an individual to perform healing, it would be helpful to receive instruction from you. Is this possible?
This is possible, given the distortion of vibratory sound complexes.
So I'm assuming then that the selected individual would necessarily be one who was very much in harmony with the Law of One. Though he may not have an intellectual understanding of it, he should be living the Law of One. Is this correct?
This is good. This is both correct and incorrect. The first case, that being correctness, would apply to one such as the questioner itself, who has the distortion towards healing, as you call it. The incorrectness, which shall be observed, is the healing of those whose activities in your space-time illusion do not reflect the Law of One, but whose ability has found its pathway to intelligent infinity regardless of the plane of existence from which this distortion is found. You get it?
No.
So my interpretation is you don't, they don't have to be aware and living in the Law of One to be able to do it and understand what they're doing.
So like how you don't have to be aware of the Law of One, but you can still polarize.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm a little confused.
Well, this is important. Don leans over and asks Jim.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was important or not.
Jim asks if he's under, because they're all sitting in the room together.
Yeah.
And I actually, later on, it seems like Jim is actually sometimes sitting on the bed with Carla, which I thought there's a separate chair, but that's okay. So, yeah, occasionally throughout the process, Don will confer with Jim.
Okay. So, asks Jim if he understands and goes, I'm a little confused. I partially understood you. I'm not sure that I fully understood you. Same. Could you restate that in another way?
And here comes some more cosmic humor. Cosmic comedy, I guess we could call it. I can restate that in many ways, given this instrument's knowledge of your vibratory sound complexes. So, yeah, I can say it however you want, because Carla's smart.
Yeah.
I will strive for a shorter distortion at this time. Two kinds there are who can heal. Those such as yourself who, having the innate distortion towards knowledge giving of the Law of One, can heal but do not. And those who, having the same knowledge but showing no significant distortion consciously towards the Law of One in mind, body, or spirit, yet and nevertheless have opened a channel to the same ability. Kind of what I said.
Yeah.
The point being that there are those who, without proper training, shall we say, nevertheless heal. It is a further term of interest that those whose life does not equal their work may find some difficulty in absorbing the energy of intelligent infinity and thus become quite distorted in such a way as to cause disharmony in themselves and others, and perhaps even find it necessary to cease the healing activity. Therefore, those of the first type, those who seek to serve and are willing to be trained in thought, word, and action, are those who will be able to comfortably maintain the distortion towards service in the area of healing.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
There was a lot there.
There was, but...
But...
I also find it very funny. He's like, oh, he, they are going to like, oh, I'll, we'll go for a shorter distortion. What?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But they took everything they could have kind of exploded ridiculously upon and then was like, let's just boil it down. You can do it, but you don't. And there are others who can and do without knowing Law of One and eventually get tired of it and it messes with their head and their mind, body, spirit complex. And they're the ones that, had they known the Law of One at the time, would be like you right now, except still healing. However, you can man the fuck up and do it yourself.
Yeah.
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 With some cosmic comedy.
Oh, well. So Don asks if they can be trained. Ra obliges. Then they continue to ask about the process. So I have no idea how long this would take or if you could even tell anything about that. Is it possible for you to give me a synopsis of the program of training required? I have no knowledge of what questions to ask at this point. I'll ask that question in the hopes that it makes sense.
Don's got to do that a lot. I mean, overwhelmingly intelligent, but doesn't matter how smart you are when you have a social memory complex from another planet that is billions of years older than you.
And you just get overwhelmed yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Ra sneaks in there and says, I am Ra. We consider your request for information, for as you noted, there are a significant number of vibratory sound complexes which can be used in sequence to train the healer. In PhD level dissertation, saying, yes, we can say that. The synopsis is a very appropriate entry that you might understand what is involved. Firstly, the mind must be known to itself. This is perhaps the most demanding part of healing work. If the mind knows itself, then the most important aspect of healing has occurred. For consciousness is the microcosm of the Law of One. The second part has to do with the disciplines of the body complexes. In the streamings reaching from your planet at this time, these understandings and disciplines have to do with the balances between love and wisdom in the use of the body and its natural functions. The third area is the spiritual. And in that area, the first two disciplines are connected through the attainment of contact with intelligent infinity. Mind, body, spirit, complex. Open that shit up. Make it realize itself. And boom, magic. Both literally and metaphorically.
Yep.
Yep. We're going to switch on the next slide. You're going to read some answers.
Okay. I believe I have some idea of the accomplishment, a little idea anyway, of the accomplishment of the first step. Can you elaborate the steps? The other two steps I am not at all familiar with.
Oh yeah, I'm raw. Imagine the body. Imagine the more dense aspects of the body. Proceed therefrom to the very finest knowledge of energy pathways which revolve and cause the body to be energized. Understand that all natural functions of the body have all aspects from dense to fine and can be transmuted to what you may call sacramental. This is a belief, this is a brief investigation of the second area. To speak to the third, imagine, if you will, the function of the magnet. The magnet has two poles. One reaches up, the other goes down. The function of the spirit is to integrate the upreaching yearning of the mind-body energy with the downpouring in-streaming of infinite intelligence. This is a brief explication of the third area. Seems fairly reasonable to me.
Nope.
Oh yeah. Now I'm done.
Okay.
Then would this training program involve specific things to do, specific instructions and exercises?
I am wrong. We are not at this time incarnate among your peoples. Thus, we can guide an attempt to specify, but cannot, by example, show. This is a handicap. However, there should indeed be fairly specific exercises of mind, body, and spirit during the teach/learning process we offer. It is to be once again iterated that healing is but one distortion of the Law of One. To reach an undistorted understanding of that law, it is not necessary to heal or, indeed, to show any manifestation, but only to exercise the disciplines of understanding. We would ask that one or two more questions be the ending of this session.
So now that you're reading it, did you kind of grasp it better?
Yes.
Okay. In your words, what was just said?
Of course, you'd have to ask me that.
Well, I mean, it is kind of interesting. And because this is the beginning of Ra making it very clear that they have absolutely zero intention of incarnating. And within a third density, they would come down as fourth form. Like, they have no intentions of physically manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's the handicap.
Mm-hmm.
But what'd you get out of that little piece talking about the distortions of the Law of One?
That there is many, and healing is just one of them.
There are, but what is the kind of the primary... the primary concern?
Understanding. Knowledge.
In Ra's distortion, that is very true. The interesting part about it is it kind of changes for each entity inherently depending upon the density they're within. So as we're going into fourth, it's all about love and you know, the distortion of service to others, or if you're going negative, service to self. And then that branches into fifth, which is the light side of love light, the understanding, the knowledge. And then we get to where Ra's at, still now, and especially now at that time, is unity. It's the collection of both of those and understanding how the yin and yang between the two kind of dance. So as you ascend densities, your primary distortion, and this is all in my opinion, obviously this is all up for interpretation, but as you ascend densities, your focus, your main distortion of the Law of One at that time is reliant upon what it takes to work through the density you're in. You smell what sense. I'm stepping in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Don. My objective is primarily to discover more of the Law of One, and it would be very helpful to discover techniques of healing. I am aware of your problem with the respect to free will. Can you make, you cannot make suggestions. So I will ask if you can state the Law of One and the laws of healing to me. This is so fucking good.
I am Ra. The Law of One, though beyond the limitations of name, as you call vibratory sound complexes or words, may be approximated by stating that all things are one, that there is no polarity, no right or wrong, no disharmony, but only identity. All is one, and that one is love light, light love, the infinite creator. One of the primal distortions of the Law of One is that of healing. Healing occurs when the mind-body-spirit complex realizes, deep within itself, the Law of One. That is, that there is no disharmony, no imperfection, that all is complete and whole and perfect. Thus, the intelligent infinity within this mind-body-spirit complex reforms the illusion of body, mind, or spirit to a form congruent with the Law of One. The healer acts as energizer or catalyst for this completely individual process. One item which may be of interest is that a healer asking to learn must take the distortion understood as responsibility for that ask receiving, thus healing. This is an honor duty which must be carefully considered in free will before the asking.
I love that first paragraph.
That's a whole paragraph.
Well, in it's condensed here for us, but it was split up just... Though beyond the limitations of name, may be approximated by stating that all things are one. No polarity, no right or wrong, no disharmony, but only identity. All is one. First time I heard that, I legitimately cried, and I'm tearing up a little bit right now. It's just great. Did you understand all that, though? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figured that was fairly simple. Okay. So Don then asked if they should continue the next day. There's Ra there.
Oh. we're doing great today.
Yeah, I know.
Ra says the instrument is best nurtured by approximately this length of work.
And then Don asks if two sessions per day are possible. This then gives Ra an opportunity to share more information about maintaining the instrument. How are we going to take care of Carla, Ra?
I am Ra. This instrument is capable of two sessions a day. That's more than I thought. However, she must be encouraged to keep her bodily complex strong by the ingestion of your foodstuffs. Foodstuffs.
Right.
To an extent which exceeds the instrument's normal intake of your foodstuffs. This due to the physical material which we use to speak. Is that just saying, like, overfeed yourself?
In a way, yeah.
Okay. Like, not stuff like, yourself?
No, just make sure you're full all the time, especially going into a channel.
Make sure you got that foodstuffs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Foodstuffs. keep in mind, one, this is raw, right?
It's just like...
And this was in the 80s.
The verbiage of everything else is so expound. But then it's foodstuffs. It's something that me, like, who likes to be like, oh, this is a cute little thingy. And I got
foodstuffs. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm sorry. Further, this instrument's activities must be monitored to prevent overactivity, for this activity is equivalent to a strenuous working on the physical level.
What Ra's saying there is that the process of instrumenting with Carla is the same effect on the body as a workout.
Yeah. If these admonitions. Yes. Are considered, the two sessions would be possible. We do not wish to deplete this instrument.
And this happens a few times, but Don actually thanks Ra for providing some insight. And it does happen fairly often throughout the sessions, and it's I pulled a little thing out of that, and it's just something simple that everyone can do. I mean, just thank everything. Being thankful all the time for everything. Every situation, every catalyst, good or bad. Everything is here for polarization when it's properly utilized. And then I put a little thing in here. Live in love, light, and thanks. Because, I mean, literally everything that happens to you is, in a way, predestined by yourself. You've chosen to make this thingy happen to you. All these things happen to you. The fact that you're here, you made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not like you or me, but us. You, me, higher self. So, you know, every episode I gotta reach up, right? So YouTube can find it. Shall we do it together? There's our thumbnail. So, like, I mean, everything that happens, I mean, you can say everything happens for a reason, but that's way overgeneralized. Mostly everything major that affects you majorly happens for a reason. And I'm digging into a lot of stuff a lot more lately, and some realizations kind of come that were like, something that you manifested a decade ago will happen now. You'll not remember it, you know, you doing it, obviously. And then you're just like, what the fuck is this shit?
Like, why?
Why? And, you know, when you kind of come to the realization that, like, you, in a sense, manifest everything. Because in a court, you know, when you think of that, like, in relation to Law of One, because you are me and I'm you. Like, yeah, we do manifest everything. You good?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you breathe like you were tired of me talking.
No, it was just kind of like one of those awkward moments where your brain's like, I need more oxygen right now. So my apologies.
No, you're good. Yeah, it's just live in thanks. When something good happens to you, enjoy it, live in thanks. When something bad happens to you, realize that happened for a reason for you to learn a lesson. And however you take that catalyst and use it towards growing and polarizing yourself is what really matters. So, you know, you get in a car accident, just random thing, you know. Some would say, yeah, you manifested that a while ago. A lot of people, a lot of law of attraction psychos on YouTube are like, you manifest every fucking thing that happens to you. No. There's a collective consciousness, and since the universe speaks only in energy and everything's equal.
And that energy cannot be created or destroyed.
Thoughts never leave their source. All these things coincide. So if you're having negative thoughts all the time, negative shit's going to happen to you. If you're living in the positive and being happy, even in the worst of times, those are the happiest people, right? So, I mean, this shit has legitimately changed my life. I'm going to say that probably every episode, but it's true. And, you know, the early on of this is a lot of, like, pyramids and small details of Law of One. I've been getting into some crazy shit now. Granted, it's not, we're not going to get into it on the show for a little while, but I had my mind blown today about him talking about pyramids off the coast of fucking Florida. Just like, whoa, Ra, relax, dude. Saying the planet is more like a honeycomb. I mean, yeah, when you see all the shit that's popping up, you know, the entrance in the Arctic Circle, you know, at the top and at the bottom in Antarctica and all that shit. I'm just like, okay, yeah. But then Ra's like, yeah, it's a honeycomb. It's solid in the center as it, and it's molten, but there's honeycombs. And there were civilizations in there.
Are they tasty?
I mean, when you think about it, yeah, because you eat shit from the planet, so.
I like honeycomb.
That's good cereal.
Yeah.
Real honeycomb apparently is super delicious, too.
Apparently.
I wouldn't know.
I'm too afraid to try that.
I'm not if it comes in the jar of honey. Mm-mm. But I'm not just going to go to, you know, a beehive.
You can go to like, the wasp nest outside.
No, there's not going to be honey in there. They're wax. Gross. Anything you'd like to say on the material?
It's very deep. Oh, as always.
It gets deeper.
Yeah.
It's the biggest, blackest cock of spiritual metaphysicality.
Okay.
I mean, it is just deep.
Okay. But, there's a lot of learning, but there's also a lot of, oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's common sense now.
Right. Now, too.
Yeah.
You know, when this happened in the 80s, most people were probably like, the fuck are you talking about? Until he talks about aliens. Because there is a flap around the time that Don was doing some of this. How do you feel about what Ra's been speaking on in reference to the whole Egyptian history thing?
I find it very, I don't want to say truthful in a way.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's the wrong word to say. But it's kind of like that weird like intuition that's like, oh yeah, that's right.
There is something interesting to be said about that. We've kind of spoken on it before, how, you know, your feelings and things you've experienced in your past would kind of lead towards, you know, you having a past life in that time. And metaphysically, for you to be able to access that, leans highly towards you having some sort of a dual body, a dual energy body, where your third and fourth chakra and energy density like at the same time, which is something that happens. Dual energy bodies. It's going to be happening a hell of a lot more now. Like the children and the people that are able to pierce the veil a bit, you know.
Yeah.
In this form, no, we cannot achieve fourth, fifth, sixth, definitely not seventh density consciousness. But we can pierce the veil and say, like, almost, you know, kind of like those people that say they can access the Akashic records.
The what?
The Akashic records.
The what?
The Akashic records what? Are the the history of the universe, basically.
Oh, okay.
It has all of your past incarnations, all of your future incarnations. Like, it's all just there. Mm. Because everything has already happened. Mm. So those people that can access the Akashic records are kind of those people that are breaching into, they pierce the veil and they breach into fifth and sixth density consciousness, you know, the higher chakra levels. So, like, it can be received and seen and somewhat understood, but it cannot be completely accessed. So, I mean, Buddha, for example, was a fifth density consciousness existence that came down into third. But in coming down into third, could not have all of, you know, fifth density
because of the power. Veil.
Well, because of the veil, yes, but also because it's just, it can't happen because that's not the way it works. Jesus was a very high fourth. Basically, snap fingers, boom, he's fifth. But decided to come back down. Took the chance going through the forgetting with the veil. And discovered the fact that he was higher density by killing a friend. Just by touching them. And Ra speaks on that, but there are some that are easily crack into it. And I feel like time-wise, like in history, it's easier for them back then to have been able to do it because there wasn't as much this shit, you know, electronics and pharmaceuticals and TV and all this stuff to really kind of fuck with your head. So now I feel like it's harder for people to be able to access that. Whether, you know, if you came down sixth, by choosing now to come down with all this technology and then, you know, the life that you chose to have, it put a block on you being able to, this is hypothetical, you know, to access that and realize, like, I came here for a reason. And that's what a lot of people are going through. And then, you know, our society today is so fucked that people just get trapped in it. And it's because, it's a shitty way to say it, but a majority of population is brainwashed to hell. Whether they want to believe it or not, if you're not living in your true self, you're not living. You are almost brain dead at that point, in my opinion. Because you're just here to be here. You're not doing anything. You know, I feel like I've learned my purpose in the fact that I've always wanted to kind of educate people on, at the time, you know, life things. Mm-hmm. But now it's this. I want to talk to as many people as I can about the loved one. I've never been happier. Like, I'm living in my true self and it feels fucking great. You are tired.
I cannot be helped.
Is there anything else you want to say?
I'm hungry. I'd like some foodstuffs.
We're going to go get some foodstuffs for sure, because I'm hungry too. It's upstairs ready to go.
Foodstuffs.
So we're good?
Yep.
All right. Sick. Everybody, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening on the podcast platform of your choice. If you're watching the replay on YouTube, please be cool. Give us a like and put a comment down there and like sub to the channel. Because it just helped us be able to help other people more, truthfully. And most importantly, legit, go to the sources, because they are what's more important. That's where we get our information from. They did, once again, I want to say this, provide us permission to show that little snippet. It won't happen again. It's just one little thing to give you a feel. If you want to see more of that, go to their channel. They're just LL Research on YouTube. I could pull that up too, but I didn't. I apologize. I guess you can too while I keep talking. On Apple Podcasts, iTunes, any, you know, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, any of the other ones where you can rate. We would really appreciate a rating and comments in regards to what you think about it. Let us know the quality. And of course, there, boom, LL Research on YouTube. LL Research 101. That makes sense. So yeah, you can email us directly. It is just ask the rockcast at Gmail. You can send us an email there. If it is a question that that seems reasonable to put on a show, we definitely will, for sure. And then I'll put a little sign up, whatever. But yeah, thanks for watching. Wow, that's a word. Thanks for watching. We'll see y'all next week. Have a good night, everybody. I am a genius at this shit, I tell you what.